The following is an encore episode of The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde. The topic is the March for Life. We hope you enjoy. From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde and featuring the pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Tillman's Corner, Father Stephen Brazell. And now, your host, the Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life, Patrick Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to the Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensberg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life.
And I'm Father Stephen Verzell, Pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Parish. And we are joined and led, as always, by our Archbishop, Thomas Rohde.
Father Verzell, Mr. Ahrensberg, good to be with both of you and those who are listening to the program today.
Well, Archbishop, all three of us who are in studio, we're at a March for Life, but we were at different marches. So we're going to talk a little bit about those marches and kind of go from there. But as we begin, would you lead us in prayer?
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Dear God, our Father, you have created this world. You've given us life. We thank you so much for this gift. And we pray that you help us to respect our own lives and the lives of others. Help us always to be grateful for this gift you have given us and to live lives that give you honor and glory. As we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we're going to talk about the march, but as we said it in context, the people have been going up for Mobile, as near as I can gather, Archbishop, since 1992. A young man named Pat O'Mara was a youth minister here in the city. And he took a group up to D.C. for the march, and then he left Mobile. And Father Steve Williams, who is at McGill-Tulin, started taking students. So it's been 20 plus 18, about 38 years. But abortion became an issue. Well, it was an issue before, but the Supreme Court decision in 1973, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not a lawyer, so if my language is imprecise, please correct me. But they declared abortion to be a constitutional right. And therefore, any law that would prohibit abortion was unconstitutional.
And because of that, we have had this controversy for the past 47 years. And as you said, it actually is longer than that, because before the Supreme Court decision, there were already efforts in state legislatures to make abortion legal. What the Supreme Court did was to strike down in almost all the states laws which protected the pre-born child, the child in the womb, that I think 47 states had, or 48 states, and I'm not sure about that exact number. It was a sweeping Supreme Court decision 47 years ago. And I remember at that time people saying that this controversy about abortion would soon just go away, that because abortion was now the law of the land, that people had a right to have abortions, and people would eventually get used to that this is the law of the United States. 47 years later, that controversy hasn't gone away at all. And it hasn't gone away because abortion is based upon lies. You know, it's based upon the lie that, first of all, the baby in the womb is not a baby. It's just a glob of tissue. You know, and people in 1973, when Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court decision, was decided, there are many people who really thought that. But today, we see ultrasounds of babies in the womb. And, you know, it's a baby. It has a heartbeat. It has brain waves. It moves. It has arms, its legs. You look at it and you see it's not just a glob of tissue. And so rapidly that lie is being challenged, and especially among our young people who are the best educated generation in the history of our country. They realize that it's a baby. And the other lie that abortion is based upon is that, well, it's just part of the mother's body, and a woman has a right to make decisions concerning her body. Well, yes, a woman has a right to make decisions concerning her body, but this is a distinct human being. This is a baby that has his or her own brain waves, his or her DNA, his or her own heartbeat. This baby is totally dependent upon the mother, but that does not make the baby part of the mother's body. It is the body of an innocent human life, and we're called to respect innocent life. Those two lies are not going to go away as long as we have abortion, and that controversy is not going to go away because people continue to realize that these are lies and abortion is evil. And we need to publicly witness to our respect for life and publicly witness that we are called to respect life.
You know, and most of what you just said, they didn't have the technology to be assured of in 1973. People knew it intuitively, but there wasn't the science to point to it definitively like there is now. But Father Rizzo, here's one thing I've noticed. It seems to me that the argument has shifted a little bit, and we're going to talk about the march in a minute or two, but the argument has shifted a little bit to a person has a right to life if they're wanted. And the argument seems to have shifted from some of the initial justifications for abortion to that, which I find really scary.
Yes, it's a very odd, and scary is a good word for it, strange way of defining rights if we're going to have someone's right to exist be based upon whether or not they are desired to have life, whether or not, you know, and it's not just a matter of like the situations of convenience, or like just having a normal baby in my life is going to make my life harder. But, the ways that we're now approaching doing prenatal testing for genetic disorders and things like that, and how that is a big motivation for pregnancies to be terminated because, it's not that I don't want a baby, but I don't want this baby with this problem. That it really is becoming very, it is actually a slippery slope down which we are slipping. If you're going to allow it for any reason whatsoever, as far as like whether or not this child is desired, whether or not it's wanted, then we start having some very ugly reasons why this or that child might not be wanted, and the fact that like the blatant lack of ethicality surrounding it just becomes more and more obvious to those of us that are paying attention, and it's scary is the right word. That's my point in answer to what you had to say there.
So Archbishop, obviously this is a big issue. It strikes to the core of human value and dignity. You have got to be proud of your kids here in the Archdiocese, Archbishop. You know, we had right at 600 people make the trip up to Washington, D.C., and that's not an easy trip on the bus. There are a lot of hardships. Some of the groups sleeping on the floor when they got to D.C. I mean,
floors of school of gymnasiums. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was a decision that these young people made, both from our high schools and from colleges here in the Archdiocese of Mobile, to go there. It was not just that they could get out of 2 days of school. And I hope I would say that. Maybe some people are smiling right now listening to this saying, oh, yes, you know, that was probably a motivation. There were other trips that the schools offer. It was not this trip or no trip. It was this trip or some other trips that are a lot of fun. They chose to go on this trip because this is something that they believe in, that the baby in the womb has a right to live. The baby in the womb is an innocent life. An innocent life needs to be protected. So I was very proud of our young people who traveled up there. I was very proud of how they conducted themselves there. And it was just uplifting. And this is something I find among young people. Our young people, who went on the march in Washington, certainly believe in the right to life of these innocent babies. But in general, young people are, I find they're struggling with this issue of abortion. because they get from every side, they are getting from society that abortion is not only acceptable, they're getting it very often that abortion is good. You know, the promises of abortion never come true, but they keep being out there that if we have abortion, we will have fewer unwanted babies, and therefore we'll have babies raised correctly. If we have abortion, we'll have fewer people in prison. If we have abortion, we'll have fewer children living in poverty. If we have, the promises go on. None of them have been fulfilled. You know, after 47 years, these promises have not been fulfilled. All that has happened in our country by having abortion is that we have lessened our respect for human life in general. Because if we can abort, if we can end the lives of innocent babies in the womb, well, then no life is going to be truly respected. And that's what really has happened. But I find young people are struggling with this, and they're not totally buying, the polls are showing this, they're not totally buying the abortion message. Because deep down inside, they know it's a baby. And there's discomfort among the younger generation. We have something there to work with to call our country back to respect of life.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on WNGL, Archangel Radio, 1410 AM and 94.5 FM. I'm Father Verzel here with Pat Ahrensberg and Archbishop Rohde, and we are talking about the March for Life. But I want to speak, Archbishop, to the idea of kids wanting to take this as, you know, a little vacation from school, getting some time off, because you're right, it's they have other options, you know, other ways that they can spend their money. Like, they have to pay to go on this trip. It's not something that's free. And there's other extracurricular things that would take them away from school, but they make a priority for this one. And I just want to give the perspective of someone who was one of those students. The first time I went to the March for Life was in 2001. I was a junior in high school, and the motivation was absolutely because I didn't have a voice in any other way in the public sphere. I couldn't vote yet, but I felt passionate about this issue. I felt passionate that there needs to be legal protections for the unborn, and so I wanted to go and participate and hold a sign, walk down, is it Constitution Avenue or Independence Avenue? I forget which one.
Constitution.
But to exercise in some way, to do some kind of political activism for something that that it was important to me, but it's important to me for very clear reasons. I think that the child in the womb has a right to live. There was zero interest, you know, in like, oh, I don't have to go to school too. Like that, I don't remember that being part of my motivation at all. So I mean, yeah, you could kind of parody that with, you know, a teenager. Of course they want to get out of class or whatever, but really there is an impassioned desire from these kids that want to be able to stand up for life, and this is a way that they can do it.
So Archbishop, can you describe for our listeners who are all these people that are going? I mean, how does it logistically work? Are there different groups that go together, or is it arranged through schools and
from the Archdiocese of Mobile?
Yes,
broadly speaking, three ways. Our Catholic high schools organize trips of students from the schools. Our parishes, the second way, parish groups go up, youth ministers and young people from the parish. And the third, groups go from college campuses, and college students will go up on their own. So these are, pretty much broadly speaking, the three ways that young people can, the teenagers, the 20-somethings, can get to Washington, D.C.
And what happens when they get to Washington? What does it mean? I've heard the term, if one of our listeners has heard the term March for Life, but they don't know what that looks like. What does it look like?
The central point of it is to witness publicly to our respect for life and our call to our country to once again respect the life of the preborn baby. And so on the Friday near before the anniversary of the abortion decision by the Supreme Court in 1973, on that nearest Friday to that anniversary, People gather at 1 p.m. in the afternoon and march down Constitution Avenue, which is in the center of the District of Columbia, of Washington, D.C., and they march from the Washington Monument and to the Supreme Court building, and the march ends there. And hundreds of thousands of people march down Constitution Avenue. I don't know how long of a march that would be. I could only estimate, but it's a good march. It takes a while to do it, but it's marching through the streets of our nation's capital to witness to something so important.
Would you please just estimate? I'm trying to help people get a visual image if they've never been there. What, a mile and a half? 2 miles?
I would say probably about that.
So it's not super long, but we're not talking about two blocks either.
You're right.
And how would you describe, either one of you jump in on this, how would you describe the demeanor of the people marching? Are they angry protesters? Is there a lot of yelling? Is there, what? Just describe kind of the scene for those who have never been on that march.
So you get a few different kinds of things. You don't really have, it's not an angry protest. Really, you only get that from the occasional, and there's not a lot of them, but the occasional counter-protester that might be stirring things up or trying to stir things up. But really, what you encounter amongst the marchers is a combination of, you have some chanting every now and then. There's the, hey, hey, ho, ho, Roe v. Wade has got to go, those kinds of things. And then prayer. Like, those are the things that I encounter the most. Like, I've been to the march several times in Washington, D.C., and you encounter a lot of groups praying. And you encounter a lot of groups that are sort of spirited in their support for the unborn child, but not in an angry way, not in an intimidating way at all. It's a very calm march down. You know, everybody has a sign up. Some people carry signs.
A lot don't. I've seen groups decide they just want to march in silence.
Yeah.
And they march in silence, but it's not a demonstration. You know, sometimes we have this image that march is a demonstration. It's not a demonstration, but, you know, as we will see sometimes that people will decide to get out and demonstrate against something, and they'll be angrily there, and they'll be shouting and yelling. That's not this at all. It is a rather subdued march of hundreds of thousands of people. I've had people tell me who would attend this or would watch it from the sidewalks and just say, I've never seen so many people march and it's so well behaved. You know, it's not an angry group at all. It's church groups and youth groups and Catholic organizations, and it's not just young people. There's a lot of people of all ages who are out there, and different organizations will be there, you know, different clubs, organizations who will be marching as well.
I find it interesting how the Capitol Police, are those the folks that are, am I saying all right?
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, with hundreds of thousands in that area, on a hotbed issue, you would expect a lot of tension. And they look completely relaxed because the crowd is very non-confrontational, very relaxed,
mm-hmm.
but just meant to show this is the law of the land right now, but we think it's immoral.
Yeah, and it's not going to be, there are not noisemakers, there are not bands, there are not musical instruments. No, I mean, this is, there is some chanting, but it's subdued. It's serious. It's not angry. It's serious.
At times, when I've marched, I almost feel somber. I mean, I stop and realize what I'm there for. And for me, I like to march silently when I'm there. It just seems appropriate. You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Pat Arensberg here with Father Rizal and our Archbishop.
I remember one time, Pat, and this is a serious, I don't remember the number, but someone calculated, you know, because we know how many abortions are take place in our country every year. Those statistics are kept. And they came up with the number on average of how many babies' lives were ended, how many babies were aborted during the time of the march. And so, and that was a very sobering statistic, that as we marched through the streets of Washington, D.C., asking our country, please let us respect life again, that how many babies were being simultaneously killed in abortion clinics.
Now, the march in D.C. is really something to behold. It's magnificent. It's wonderful. It is where I think eventually the legislative or juridical changes have to come. But there are a lot of people, Father Rizzo, who can't realistically make it up to Washington. The finances, the time, the difficulty of travel, whatever it is. And so there's a new kid on the block the last 2 years.
I want to start more wide than just the March for Life in Mobile, and just so that people are aware, all around the country in recent years, you've had different march-type events pop up to sort of be in conjunction with the March for Life in Washington, D.C. Some of the bigger ones, you've got the West Coast Walk for Life, which is in San Francisco, and that started back around 2005. You've got the March for Life Chicago. You've got a Celebrate Life March in Denver, One Life in Los Angeles. So none of those are as old or as big or as eloquent, I think, because of the size and the location, as the March for Life in Washington, D.C. But the desire for people to take up a political activism, something that's beyond their vote, something that's beyond that sort of taking action. They want to be able to stand up for life is something that has been manifesting itself all over the country in recent decades. And yes, here locally in Mobile, in the past few years, we've had small but growing March for Life. Actually started the same year as the first women's march in Washington, D.C., because the organizers of our local march saw that one happening in close proximity to the March for Life, and many of the people that participated in the women's march were very pro-abortion and very outspoken during the march, and so it sort of inspired our local folks here to want to be able to march here and to be able to stand up for life, to stand up for the pro-life cause. And that sort of spurred on the organization of this smaller, but definitely a worthwhile endeavor, the local March for Life Mobile.
You know, one thing, Pat, I jump in. You know, we've been talking about all of the parishes, Catholic schools that went to Washington, but not everyone in that march in Washington is Catholic. Oh, quite the opposite. It is people from all sorts of backgrounds. And I think that's becoming true in Mobile.
Oh, most certainly. From the very beginning, so listeners know why I've got some understanding of the history here, one of the original and still organizers of the Mobile March for Life is my sister, Emily Montague. She does a wonderful job with it. But from the very beginning, it was meant to be not a Catholic organization, although there's a lot of Catholics involved with it, a lot of Catholics show up for it, but an interfaith and even open to secular and atheists who might be pro-life. And there are a number of secular pro-life organizations around the country. Because the issue is not limited to the Catholic perspective. Yes, Catholics, I think, have a special place in our hearts and a desire to have legal protection for the unborn, but it's not our own issue. And so we're happy that there are so many others involved, not just in the marching, but even in the organization of running the March for Life. The speakers that we have at the rally beforehand they come from a diversity of faiths. They have every year that the local march has taken place.
You know, I really appreciate the march. here in Mobile. It is not a ministry. It's not put on by the Archdiocese of Mobile. You know,
not at all. It is not organized by the Catholic Church. This was a group of people that did it on their own, and a number of people who were involved originally were Catholic, but it's not a Catholic event at all. And from the very beginning, there were a number of people who were not Catholic who said, no, we have to witness, all of us have to witness for life.
Well, I love it because, you know, the question might dawn on us, why doesn't the church organize this activity, or why don't the bishops plan this particular? Well, in response to that question of why aren't we doing this, why aren't we doing that, we should be doing it. That we should, this group works, stays in communication with the Archdiocese so that we're on the same page and all like that. But instead of sitting back and waiting for somebody else to take initiative, this group of they were all women, except
indeed
for you. I think your sister roped you in pretty early.
Yes.
They took initiative and said, this needs to happen, and let's work with the church to figure out and move forward with her blessing, and let's go provide an avenue for those who can't go to D.C.
But from the very beginning, they said, but this, we don't want this to be a Catholic, a Catholic event, because we're not only out there because we respect life, we're out there because we're citizens of this country. We're mm-hmm. Americans, and we want our country to respect life. When we are ending the lives of millions of our babies, this is something that affects all of us. It affects society. It affects our respect for life for anyone, not just for the innocent babies in the womb. This has a pervasive effect in our society of how we view the value of human life.
Amen. Well, Archbishop, sadly, we're out of time. Would you give us a blessing as we close, please?
Well, may the blessing of God be upon each of you and your loved ones. In the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde and featuring Father Stephen Verzel as well as Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio, broadcasting all that is good, true, and beautiful.